Thank you for listening to the Destined Youth Podcast. I have no idea why I'm talking like this, but apparently this is how most bumpers are supposed to sound. And now, let's begin. I don't think that's how they usually talk, though.
The devil, I've got the victory because of Jesus. Song we do just says this: I'm a Pentecostal, I am unashamed. Read the book of Acts, y'all. We are still the same. We worship God the Father, we lift up Jesus' name.
stay. And we worship God the Father. We lift up Jesus' name. We're Holy Ghost and fire. In every way. I'm a Pentecostal. I am unashamed. Read the book of Acts. We are still the same. We worship God the Father. We lift up Jesus' name. We're Holy Ghost and fire. Hang down, drink till we get there. We holding on the ground. We cranked up the music, danced all around, shouting hallelujah as His glory came down. Oh, it's just our style. That's the way we do our thing. We're the Pentecostals, baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, I'm the Pentecostal. Read the book of Acts. We are still the same. We worship God the Father. We lift up Jesus' name. We're Holy Ghost and fire. Hey, in every way. I'm a Pentecostal. I am unashamed. Read the book of Acts. We are still the same. We worship God the Father. Jesus' name, we're Holy Ghost and fire. Some think we're crazy, others think we're strange. When I got this Holy Ghost, I could not contain. More exciting than a party, I'm higher than a drug. It's the greatest feeling, being washed in His blood. If you're tired of tradition, if religion's done you wrong, you're feeling tired and empty, no longer have a song. The story's not over, y'all. Things for you can change. Feel the fire burning as His Spirit fans the flame. There's millions who have come. There's millions on the way. Leaving their dead churches for this Pentecostal flame. There's a hunger in the world. It gets stronger every day. Crying out for Pentecost. That is why we say, I'm a Pentecostal. I am unashamed. Read the book of Acts. We are still the same. We worship God the Father. We lift up Jesus' name. We're Holy Ghost and fire. Read the book of Acts. We are still the same. We worship God the Father. We lift up Jesus' name. We're Holy Ghost and fire. Somebody shout it.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to the second night of And You Shall Receive Power. Tonight's theme is healing. Healing and dominion over sickness and disease. Before we get into the next song, and then we'll get into the message, I want you to really open up your heart to the healing power of God tonight. The anointing is going to be strong. I can already feel it. I already know God is going to do some amazing things. So if you have people that you know that are dealing with sickness or body issues, I want you to get them on this live. Don't be afraid of what they may think. Get them up here. And God is going to do some amazing things. So before we get into that, enjoy this next song, and I'll see you guys soon. All right.
Praises to your name. Sing. to your name.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. Before we get into that, I noticed that the video that was downloaded for the song had somebody's notifications pop up. So I don't know what that was about. But anyway, it's going to be a good night today. Tonight, you know, today we're going to, I have 10 keys for divine healing, 10 keys for divine healing that I think every Christian should know about. And this will help you to not only receive divine healing, but to walk in it yourself. And let's just get right into it, okay? So first off, let's pray. I feel like we should pray first. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being with us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this event. We thank you that every person watching that's supposed to watch with full intent, full attention, and Lord, that they will receive what you're telling me to say to them. In Jesus' name, I give you praise for it now. Amen. So 10 keys, and we may get more as we keep going, but these are the 10 that God gave to me some time ago. We're just going to go over them real quick. So here we go. Number one, if you want to understand divine healing, you have to understand that it's not a sometimes type of thing. God has never been a sometimes type of God. He's not the kind of person to switch up on you. If it's in his word, he means it. He's not going to switch up on that. You know, I always find it funny how people, they have they'll put a premium on God's holiness when it comes to sin, but they don't realize that it's that same holiness that despises sickness, because sickness comes from sin. So you have to understand that sickness is not just something that happens as part of life. It is a byproduct of sin. It is a byproduct of evil. It's not something that God ordained for us to deal with. It is something that came from the fact that that evil came through disobedience to God. So I'm not here to tell you that if you're dealing with sickness that God is mad at you and that he's punishing you. And I'm not telling you that it's because of sin, because there are instances in the Bible we see throughout scripture where Jesus did not have to cast out an evil spirit, but simply they just had to be healed. And so I'm not telling you that every single person that's sick is because they did something wrong. But I will tell you that sickness comes from evil. So we have another character in the Bible called the devil, who plays a part in the destruction, or wants to destroy mankind. And so because of Jesus Christ, we've been given power over sickness and disease. And the Holy Spirit keeps us from stumbling into those areas. Can you say amen? So before we go any further, we're going to go ahead and get into this first point. We're going to, it says Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 3 with me and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to go ahead and read it now. The one who practices sin, separating himself from God and offending him by acts of disobedience, indifference, or rebellion, is of the devil, and takes his inner character and moral values from him, not God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Well, we understand that the works of the devil is nothing but sinful stuff. So Jesus Christ came to destroy anything that the devil brought with him. I want to ask you a question. In the Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve messed up, you never saw them dealing with sickness or disease. They never had the sniffles or cancer or anything like that. You saw them living perfect lives, and that is because there was no disobedience. There was no sin. As soon as sin comes, you got Cain and Abel fighting, and Cain kills Abel. You got people being judged. I mean, sin doesn't take very long before everything gets wiped out because of it. So we thank God for Jesus Christ in that regard. Go to Luke 4:18 real quick. We got you going all over this Bible. Might as well just show you some stuff. Remember, the purpose of one of the purposes of Jesus coming to the earth was to destroy the works of the devil. So if you go to Luke 4:18, and it says this right here. I'm going to read it from the King James. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. One thing you have to understand is that anything you see in the word that that God has anointed a person to do is his will. It's not like a once a deal thing, and then, you know, he may have the person, another person do the exact opposite. God does the same thing every time. He has the same order of events every time. So we see here, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, to recovering of sight to the blind. That's not just talking about the spiritually blind, that's the physically blind as well. To set at liberty them that are bruised. You see two instances in scripture when Jesus was on the earth. You see one time where he's talking to John's disciples and they say, hey, are you the one, or should we be looking for another? He said, the dead are being raised, the lepers are being cleansed, the blind are seeing, devils are being cast out. You know, what else? What other proof do you need? And then he says the same thing to Herod, but he says, they said, hey, you better stop or Herod's going to come after you. He said, you go tell that fox that I'm going to keep doing this stuff. I'm going to keep healing people. I'm going to keep casting out devils. I'm going to keep bringing the gospel being preached. And then on the third day, I'll accomplish my goal. So the whole deal is that it is part of God's will that we live in a state of divine healing, that we live in divine health. The difference between divine healing and divine health: divine healing is a flow you can get into where you pray for other people and they get healed. But then you have divine health, and that's the flow, that's the living the life, having the life of God on the inside of you, keeps you from sickness, keeps you from disease. You know, you in scripture, you see the apostles dealing with persecution. They fall at the hands of Satan using men to attack them, but they never see, you know, you never see the Apostle Peter dealing with cancer in his own body. It doesn't work like that. And so a lot of people will say, well, then how, you know, I wish I could believe in healing. I wish I could believe in all these different things that you're speaking to me. But at the same time, I've been through so much. It just doesn't sound possible. And so you have to realize that that we can't base our theology, we cannot base our beliefs off of other people's experiences. We have to base it off of the word alone. And so that is the thing, that is probably one of the biggest keys I can give you. Not only did Christ come to destroy the works of the devil, but you can put that in there as well. Don't base the word of God, don't base God's power off of other people's experiences, because you'll be hurt every time. When you find out that some people don't get healed, you'll be like, well, then why didn't God heal them? And, you know, you'll start thinking that maybe God just chose certain people to be sick. And that's not in scripture. You know, the Bible lets us know, yes, God is sovereign. God is 100% sovereign. He chooses what he wants to do. But in his sovereignty, he gave us his word. God has limited himself from doing certain things because of his own sovereignty and because of his own holiness. He's not going to overstep boundaries that he set in order. You know, God has we call God trustworthy, that means he's loyal to his word no matter what. I'd rather have a God who's loyal than a God who's impulsive and makes decisions because, oh my gosh, my children need me. And then he makes an impulse decision and destroys everything. I love the God that I serve. He's a very consistent God. He's a very stable God. He's very faithful. He doesn't change because something doesn't go the way that we think it should. You know, I mean, if that was the case, everybody would probably be millionaires right now if we were serving a God who was impulsive, but he's not like that. Can you say amen? Praise God. So, number two, I want you to go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Well, you could say number two, number three, because I gave you a bonus tip right there. The other one was don't base the word of God off other people's experiences, so you can make that like a side note or whatever. Exodus 15. I like how I'm like, what scripture is that? You know. All right, I'm right there. Exodus 15, 26. And he says here, If you diligently listen and pay attention to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and listen to his commandments and keep foremost in your thoughts and actively obey at all his precepts and statutes, then I will not put on you any of the diseases which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That word in the Hebrew means Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer. So we have to understand, number two, is that he is your healer. There is nobody else. If he's your healer, he's not the person that makes you sick. You know, that would be very schizophrenic of him to be doing that stuff. You know, so we have to realize that in Christ, we can go based off of Old Testament stuff and argue Old Testament certain scenarios all day long. But the reality is that in the new covenant, that because of what Christ did, he took the sickness of the whole world. He took the sin of the whole world. He took the poverty of the whole world. You can't say that God puts sickness on people anymore. Matter of fact, you see him throughout the New Testament taking it away. You know, well, why does he do it in the Old Testament? Well, you have to understand that there was no propitiation for our sins. There was nobody to take on eternally or take on the sin of the whole world. There was nobody to deal with that. You see many people who interceded for the people of God, but they could not eternally handle the sins of the world. Jesus was our final sacrifice for our sins. His blood was enough to deal with the sin, the sickness, and the poverty that we so many people encounter. And that's why we preach that Jesus is the good news, that the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it fulfills the whole thing. It changes a whole man. It's not just the spirit of a man, not just the soul of a man, but the entire being. And even with the soul, you could say so much off of that. I was just talking to another preacher recently, one of my dad's friends, who was talking about, you look at some of the people in the Bible who were dealing with what most people would call autism these days. It's not necessarily a demon spirit. It might be, you know, I'm not saying it's not, but it's actually called an illogical soul. And so you have people who are dealing with soulish problems that in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ knows how to heal even to the soul, to the spirit of a person, to, you know, go to the core of a person, to their heart, and heal those issues. I go to a church that emphasizes healing of the heart, not just talking about physically, but spiritually, you know, getting rid of those bad feelings, getting rid of the jaded view of how we see God in our life. Can you say amen? So understand that God is your healer. Number three, go to Psalm 103. For those of you wondering, you don't call it Psalm chapter 103 because it's not a chapter. It's just songs, poems and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Psalm is like one of those weird books where like you go past too much and you skip like the whole book of Psalms. All right. Psalm 103. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul. All that is deep within me, bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Your youth is renewed. Not just that, he says, who heals all your diseases. Part of your benefit package of being a born-again believer, being a child of God, is that you have access to the healing power of God. That's part of it. You know, it's not something that randomly happens when God feels like it. It's something that's part of your benefits package. You have access to it. Praise God for that. So don't ever let somebody who's never experienced healing because they, you know, and I'm not saying they did something wrong or maybe life just did them wrong. You have to base everything, like I said, off the word of God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says he has benefits. The Bible says he is our healer. The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Another scripture I could say, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get into it, if it's in my notes or not. I don't think it is. I don't think I wrote it down. But you see that we talk about how Jesus is the, he is the expressed image of the will of God. Everything you saw him do is something that God wanted him to do. He wasn't doing stuff just on his own accord. He said, I only do what my Father says to do, and I only say what my Father says to say. So you have to understand this, that when it comes to Jesus's ministry as divine healing, that everybody that got healed was God's will. Not just that, it was God's will to heal all their sick. You see many times in scripture, more times than none, that he healed all their sick. One person got healed. Next thing you know, the whole crowd brings everybody with them to receive a touch from the Lord, because Jesus's will is God's will, was the God the Father's will. And that was to make sure that everybody who was sick got what they needed. Not once did you see Jesus go up to somebody and tell them, well, you may not walk down here again, but one day in the sweet by and by. No, that wasn't in scripture. That's what we've heard for years and years, because people have believed in this theology that God doesn't do miracles anymore. But you can't find that anywhere in scripture. You can't make a case from that in the Bible. Obviously, you know, people can do whatever they want to do. I'm not stopping them from doing it. But there's no case from the Bible. You know, I'm not even going to try to go into that, because it doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is God has benefits. And part of that is that he heals all your diseases, all of them, not some of them, not most of them, not 25% of them. That's 95, not even 99%. He heals all of them. Praise God. I love the fact that God is an all or nothing type of God. And he expects us to be the same way. Hey, I heal all your diseases. I prosper all your business and your ministry stuff. I do all that, but I need your full undivided attention on me. You know, and so I don't see anything wrong with that. Go to 1 Peter 2:24. I got you flipping all over this thing here, because that's the way I do it. Yeah, yeah. 1 Peter 2:24. I might just pull it up on my phone, to be honest with you, because this Bible is, you know, huge right now. Praise God. 1 Peter 2:24. All right. First Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sicknesses, our sins in his body on the tree, that we may cease from sinning and live for righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. By his wounds you were healed. Okay? Now I want you to think about that. Were healed. Were healed. Not why I hope I can be healed. And this is quoted from Isaiah 53. Not hoping that, you know, maybe one day God will heal me. You know, like I told you guys the other time, I had to pray for my friend about healing. And the Lord kept telling me, when are you going to stop asking me to heal this person? I've already healed him. The healing's already been afforded. Jesus is not going to die again. Jesus is not going to come back down and take more lashes. Oh, I forgot COVID. And I don't care if I get knocked off. You know, get mad at me. I don't care. Jesus is not going to come down and take more lashes. Every disease. Matter of fact, I believe it's in Deuteronomy. It says, even the disease is not mentioned in this book. That was the curse of the law. Galatians 3, I believe it was. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, I'm going to go there real quick just to show you guys something real quick. Galatians 3, 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Now I'm going to show you something in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I believe it is. Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to go to verse 15. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28 is the opposite. Everything from verse 15 all the way down to verse 68 is the curse of the law. Now, I'm trying to show you something that literally the reason why the curse of the law was so heavy was because God is a holy God And once you separate yourself from him, you become an open target to the devil. It's not that God was putting these things on these people. It's that he was literally letting the devil, he was giving him, giving them themselves, giving Israel over to the enemy to be destroyed. And so you read the whole thing. And it starts off with, but if you ignore the Lord your God and are not careful to keep all his commandments and statutes I'm giving you today, then all these curses will come upon you in full force. He says, you'll be cursed everywhere you go. And he goes into, there will be curses in your drought and in a drought and diseases and defeat and deportation. There is going to be, basically, your status will be revoked. Your covenant term, your covenant will end with God. All this kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying to you? And Jesus took that. In Galatians 3:13, lets us know he took the whole curse of the law. So it's not just a cute phrase we say, you know, no, he took the curse for me. Amen. You know, took the curse of my sin. He took the whole thing. The whole ordeal was taken on his back and upon himself. So that's why, you know, I want to give you some context here. Crucifixion takes 2 to 3 days, you know, give or take. Few hours, and Jesus died in 6 hours. World record, I guess. I don't know. But here's the thing you have to understand, that it was because he was so sick in his body, because he carried every disease you can think of. The diseases not mentioned in this book. Okay, the whole thing came upon him. Curse of diseases, curse of poverty, curse of being shunned, curse of everything that comes from disobedience to God. He took it upon himself. That emptiness people felt when they would sin against God came upon Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. It's a blessing to know that Jesus took the whole thing for me. So he already took our sicknesses and diseases. I'm not asking God to take away stuff anymore. I'm just saying, Lord, I thank you that you've already done this for me. And then we've been given the authority to command stuff to go. In the name of Jesus, I command this thing to be loosed right now. Praise God. Number 5. Unless otherwise explained, expect healing. Don't be... You know, okay, so you'll always hear these stories, these exceptions to the rules where they say, well, I pray for so-and-so and the Lord told me they weren't going to be healed because of this, that, and the other. All right, listen, whether or not a person gets healed is none of my business. My job as a minister of the gospel is to preach healing. I have a desire, and I have a duty to preach healing regardless if so-and-so receives it or not. One time, Kenneth Hagin was preaching, or he had to preach, and the Lord told him to preach on death because this lady was dying, and so she was ready to go home to be with the Lord. And so he's preaching on death, but then he goes, after he's done, he's like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I mean, you told me to preach on healing. Here I am preaching on death because this lady wants to go home and be with the Lord. And the Lord said to him, does it matter? He said, I told you to preach on healing. The word of God puts an emphasis on healing. The word of God lets you know that you have a right to be healed as a Christian. As a person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a right to be healed. He said, it doesn't matter. So it's like, preach on healing. She was an exception to the rule. There are exceptions, not because God is... You know, choosing, you know, I don't want him to be healed. No, it's not about choosing, but people make decisions in life. I know people personally who chose to go home to be with the Lord early. It doesn't mean that God didn't want to heal them. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want to heal you if you're dealing with something. You cannot base your life off of people's choices in life. You cannot base your entire existence off of human reasoning. You have to base it off of the Word of God and the Word of God alone. So number 5, unless otherwise explained, expect healing. Number 6, you have to understand that there actually is a remedy for sickness. It's, you know, it's not a hope. I'm not hoping that one day God will heal. I understand that he is a healer, and that he's already healed me because he put all of the sickness. Every single sickness that was supposed to hit my body was put on Jesus. Carried my sin in his body. Carried my sin. Woo-woo. The Bible says he became sin. So you can imagine that when a person becomes sin, they don't look like themselves. They become a nastier version of themselves. They carry this filth around them. And that filth comes from the pit of hell, because that's the only place that sin belongs, is in the pit of hell. So you can imagine what Jesus was feeling. It wasn't so that we could write a cute story called The Passion of the Christ and have Mel Gibson starring, or Mel Gibson write it. And then we have, what did that dude named Jim Caviezel, whatever his name is, star as Jesus. We didn't do it because we thought it was going to be a fun idea. We did it because there is an actual man named Jesus who is the Son of God, who came down in human flesh and died a sinner's death so that we could live a godlike life. Amen. And that's in this life as well. Amen. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 4 real quick. Proverbs chapter 4. We'll go with verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My child, pay attention to my words. Listen attentively to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Guard them with your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to one's entire body. They are healing to one's entire body. If you look at some definitions of salvation actually can mean the Greek word sozo, or I think it's Hebrew. And it means sozo. That means it's in the whole, your whole being receives salvation. It's not just my spirit. It's not just my soul. It is also the whole body, the whole man. So even my body receives healing. One translation says, it is healing to all his flesh, to all your flesh. So the word of God carries a healing power in it that when you read, it heals your body. It rejuvenates your body. Amen. We understand that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that rose Jesus up from the dead, and he quickens our mortal body. He quickens our mortal body. Praise God. Amen. He quickens our mortal body. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart brings good and healing, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. If you're dealing with a person who is struggling with sickness, the number one thing you can do to kill them early is to keep them depressed. You heard me right. If you want to get them out of here early, you keep them depressed. You keep them sad. You keep them defeated. You keep them in a state of being a loser. Now, if you want them to live long, you want them to beat this thing, what you do is you keep on building up their confidence in God. You keep on giving them victory after victory. You keep on encouraging them in the spirit. You make them laugh. I just heard my pastor told me about this guy who was dealing with cancer. And it was like stage 4, late stage 4. So he told his family, bring me some comic books. I want to laugh. Some comic strips from the newspaper. I want to laugh. So they brought it to him and he just started laughing. Laughed so hard, he laughed the cancer right off of him. He goes back to the doctor. They tell him the cancer is completely gone. The man was completely healed. So you have to understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you don't have joy, you can't receive what God wants you to have. Go to Joel chapter 1. This is part of it. Joel chapter 1. Where is it at? Joel chapter 1, verse 1. Here we go. Verse 8. Wail like a young virgin clothed in sackcloth, lamenting the death of her husband-to-be. No one brings grain offerings or drink offerings to the temple of the Lord anymore. So the priests, those who serve the Lord, are in mourning. The crops of the field have been destroyed. The ground is in mourning because the grain has perished. The fresh wine has dried up. the olive oil languishes. Be distressed, farmers. Wail, vine dressers, over the wheat and the barley. For the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up. The fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate, date and apple as well. In fact, all the trees of the field have dried up. Indeed, the joy of the people has dried up. The joy of the people has dried up. There's another scripture that says that we draw water from the wells of our salvation in joy. So you cannot receive the blessing of God. You cannot see the healing of God in your life if you do not have joy. So what you have to do is keep a person in a state of joy. Now, obviously, I'm not telling you that the person is always going to be in a state of happiness if they're dealing with a sickness that's designed to keep them weak. So what you have to do is keep them in a constant environment of joy, not so that way they can be, not just so they can wait till God comes through. Take them to a Holy Ghost filled service where they can get healing for their body. Stop taking them to these dead churches and saying, can you put them on the sick and shut in list to do what? So that he can get more sick. Some of those people will pray more stuff on you than they even intend to. Some people are so full of doubt that they'll spend their time saying, Lord, if it be your will, more than just actually learning what his will says. That's like going to the bank and then making an account and then saying, well, whatever you want in my bank account, you can put it in there. No, actually, it requires your faith to do it. It requires your ability to do it. So you have to carry a faith on the inside of you and be like those four guys who took their best friend, the paralyzed man, and lowered him in through the ceiling so that Jesus could heal him. Be somebody that can take somebody that's not feeling well and take them to a Holy Ghost service and get them filled with the Holy Spirit. Get them healed. Get them delivered. Get them set free. You know, one thing I can't stand, and I talk about this quite often, I can't stand is that people, they live in this state of waiting. They live in this state of constant defeat. They live in this state of just, they love sitting and just letting nothing happen. Well, Lord, whenever you get ready, well, Jesus, whenever your plan is perfect for my life. Your plan is perfect for my life. Amen. I'm trying. You know, I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. When the Bible lets us know that we have everything we need that helps us to live a life of godliness and holiness. We don't need to keep on waiting for God to do stuff. He's already done everything he's going to do. The Holy Spirit waits on us to do stuff. The Holy Spirit waits on us. Praise God. The Holy Spirit waits on us. Put that in the comments. The Holy Spirit waits on us. So if you don't have joy, that's going to be your first mistake in trying to battle or go to battle. If you don't have a spirit of joy, if you're always living in a state of defeat, you're never going to win. The first thing the enemy does is take away your joy, take away your love, and take away your righteousness. That means making you unsure of who you are in Christ. Amen. Praise God. That's one thing I talk about a lot. Have joy. If you're going to beat the devil down, do it with a smile on your face. And stop speaking defeat. Stop speaking defeat. That's one thing I can't stand. People speak defeat more than they speak the blessing. You know, one minute they're in church. Yeah, Holy Spirit was speaking today. 5 seconds later, well, I just don't know if it's going to work out. You know, I don't get that concept. Did you not hear what the pastor was talking about? Our pastor's been talking about words. You'd be surprised how many people are in the parking lot talking about defeat. Soon as, you know, just waiting on the Lord to do something. That's their way of complaining to God. That's their way of being mad at God, but being religious about it. You know, just sometimes we don't know what the Lord is doing. Did you ask him? Or are you going to sit there and be a bum about it? Go ask him. And maybe he'll tell you something. Maybe you'll actually learn a thing or two. Praise God. So, number nine, go to Matthew 13. Go to Matthew 13. I'll go from verse 53. Now when Jesus finished these parables, he moved on from there. Then he came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary? Isn't his mother named Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters here with us? Where did he get all this?" And so they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own house, his own hometown, in his own house." And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. I just read a scripture. I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. It's Psalm 78, verse 41. Says here, how often they rebelled. I'll find the whole thing. Psalm 78, verse 40. I'll go from verse 40 probably. And we'll come back to that other scripture in a second. 78, verse. I'll go first 38 just to see what the context is real quick. "Yet he is compassionate. He forgives sin and does not destroy. He often holds back in his anger and does not stir up in his fury. He remembered that they were made of flesh and were like wind that blows past and does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and insulted him in the desert. They again challenged God and offended the Holy One of Israel." One version of that says, it doesn't just say offend, it says to wound or hurt or limit the Holy One of Israel. So their rebellion against God, and if you know what their rebellion was, you have to go back and read Numbers and read Deuteronomy. Their rebellion... not Deuteronomy, I think it was Numbers and Joshua. You see that their rebellion was not having faith. So you go back to Matthew 13, verse 58. He says he could do no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief is what caused them to miss out on the miraculous power. And that's a form of rebellion. To God, unbelief is wickedness. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear, "Well, you know, God understands, amen. You know, he's very understanding." Yes, he is. And he understands that unbelief is a form of wickedness. Now, I've taught you guys millions of times before that that doubt and unbelief are not the same things. Doubt can lead to unbelief, but doubt is more of a stance of being double-minded. I'm not sure if I should believe this or not. But when you just don't believe and you have unbelief, you are in a state of wickedness. "I don't believe Jesus did this. I don't believe that. I don't blah, 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 blah. I don't believe that. So I'm not going to believe anything else." But doubt says, "I heard what's being said. I know it's real. But for some reason, there's something keeping me from moving forward." Now, doubt is still a dangerous place to be. It's still a dangerous place to be. But faith is required. If you want to see divine healing in your life and flow through you to other people's lives, you cannot live a life that's full of unbelief. Stop speaking, "Well, I mean, I guess all we can do now is pray." Why is that your last option? Why is it always people's last option to pray? And it's annoying that you can preach like this you can preach the same stuff over and over again and people just don't hear it. You can preach the same stuff. And, you know, "Oh, you're preaching good, sir." But it's like, I don't want you to tell me I'm preaching good. I want you to apply this to your life. No judgment. But I'm saying faith is required in your life. Faith is required for you to receive, to not just receive healing, but to experience healing. Now, the great thing about faith is that I don't need you to believe. I just have to believe. You could be sick and I pray for you. And because I believe God, it will work out in my favor. That's exactly why you had people who didn't believe God, but guess what? All it took was one person to believe. Joshua and Caleb. They said, "You know, I heard what they said. They're wrong. They're wrong." I'm going to go to Hebrews 11, just for the sake of it, since we're on talking about faith. What better than just go to the subject matter itself? Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced of what we do not see. For by it the people of old received God's commendation. By faith we understand that the worlds were set in order at God's command, so that the visible has its origins in the invisible. By faith by faith Abel offered a greater sacrifice than Cain, and through his faith he was commended as righteous, because God commended him for his offerings, and through his faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death, and he was not to be found because God took him. For before his removal he had been commended as having pleased God. Now without faith it is impossible to please him. For the one who approaches God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those that diligently seek him. Who do you think of when you think of that? That's that girl in Mark 4, I believe, Mark 5, something like that. The one that was dealing with the issue of blood. She told herself, the Bible says she kept telling herself over and over and over again, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. I know I'm going to be healed. It wasn't a question. It wasn't a, you know, I wonder how I'm going to feel about it. No, it was a belief in her heart. I know it. I know it. It's a prophesying to yourself. Faith prophesies to yourself. But guess what's funny? So does fear. So does doubt. It's the same thing, just working in two opposite directions. And that's why you got people who all they talk about is the struggle. I mean, I hear so many people, Christians, who talk about prosperity, they talk about the struggle is real. Nah, buddy, the struggle is over. I'm not sitting here talking about the struggle is real. You got people who are full Holy Ghost filled Christians still getting whooped. I'm not judging nobody, but my gosh, when is it going to stop? When are you going to stop speaking that stuff over yourself? By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things had not yet seen, with reverent regard, constructed an ark for the deliverance of his family. One thing I'll be honest about, this is something, I don't know why this just popped up in my head. Many people will never receive healing because they're too comfortable with the sickness that they have. You got to get out of that mindset. Look, I'll just say it like it is. A lot of people get paid to be sick. A lot of people get paid to be sick. And so they have other people doing their job for them. They have other people doing stuff for them. Hey, I don't got to do all that. That's not how God intended for you to be. He intended you for you to work, man. He intended for you to work, bro. Well, I don't know. Okay, how about this? How about we pray for you to get, how about we pray for you, you get healed, and then we pray that God gives you a good, well-paying job. How about that? Then you realize, what you end up realizing is that has nothing to do with not wanting to do it. It's laziness. But anyway, that's not my point. Let's keep going. Praise God. Amen. You didn't hear that. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place, he would later receive as an inheritance. And he went out without understanding where he was going. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in the promised land as though it was a foreign country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even though Sarah herself was barren and he was too old, he received the ability to procreate because he regarded the one who had given the promise to be trustworthy. Look at that. I'm going to read that again. He received the ability to procreate. He didn't have the ability to procreate. Think about that. But because he regarded the one who had given him the promise to be trustworthy. He perceived God to be trustworthy. Huh? Well, you seem to have created the heavens and the earth. You might be somebody I can trust. So in fact, children were fathered by one man, and this one as good as dead, like the numbers of the stars in the sky, and like the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. These all died in faith without receiving the promise, but they saw them in the distance and welcomed them and acknowledged them that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. So you wanna live a life full of faith? Start taking God at his word. Stop speaking negative over yourself. Stop doing, you know, I know I'm supposed to be talking about healing, but if you want to be seen talking about healing, you got to get out of this mentality, man, where, you know, we're waiting on God to do a mighty miracle. Lord, send revival, as if there's another, as if like the Holy Spirit has a twin named Revival sitting up in heaven, just like, well, any minute they're gonna call me down there. No, you are the Revival. There was a girl at my job who she was dealing with an ovarian cyst, and so I prayed for her, and she said she had been dealing with pain off and on for years and years. Not off and on, I think it was pretty consistently. And so I prayed for her. She came up to me like an hour later and told me, she said, this is so strange. I don't feel the pain anymore. I wasn't like, what? No. Go see a doctor, girl. No, guess what I said? I said, praise God. I actually believe what I pray. So people assume you're like being, you know, cocky because you believe the word of God. I can't stand it. Like, and you know, this is part of the territory, I guess. People will call you cocky for sitting up here in a suit, a blue shirt with a decent setup because you believe the word of God. But they'll think that the guy with the bad camera, the guy who can't even, you know, brush his teeth, the guy who doesn't believe the word of God, who says sometimes we just don't understand, they'll regard him as a prophet because he looks beaten up. That's how backwards the Christian world has gotten. That's how backward the Christian world has gotten, to the point where, you know, they, and then when I say, no, I believe the words I pray, I believe that when I say something, it's going to happen. Isn't that what Mark 11 says? And we'll go to Mark 16 soon as well. But I'm supposed to be giving y'all points, but I'm just following the spirit at this point. Let's go to Mark 11. I'll go to verse 12. Now, the next day, as they went out from Bethany, hey, make sure y'all share this with some people, he was hungry. After noticing in the distance a fig tree with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again, and his disciples heard it. I want you to really think about that. It wasn't even the season for figs, and God was like, nobody's going to eat fruit from you again. Because God is not interested in people who say, well, you know, it's not the greatest economy right now. It's not the greatest time to be doing this. Did God ask you what time it was? No, God did not ask you what time you were more comfortable to deal with the issues of life. He's asking you to just do it. That was a shadow of us being truthful in season, out of season. The Bible tells us in Psalm 1, one of the first Psalm tells us that we're supposed to be fruitful all the time. And I guess I'm talking more toward people who preach on healing, or they believe God can heal, but they have these weird other beliefs that hinder the flow of healing, and it's not helping anybody. I'm going to skip down to verse 20 because that part doesn't really affect that. In verse 20, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered, check this out, from the roots. Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if someone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for them, for him. For this reason, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and you'll be yours. I don't pray and say, Lord, well, if you hear me. I don't go and talk to people and just say, I just don't understand what's going on right now. Like, I just don't know if he's hearing me. Like, no, I know he hears me.
Well, you're saying that now because you're young and zealous, so you don't really get it.
No, I get it. I've been there where I thought God wasn't hearing me. And then he was like, boy, if you don't read this scripture, you got to believe. And then I just read to you guys 1 John yesterday. He says, I have confidence that because I'm his kid, he hears me when I speak. Not only does he hear me, I already have confidence that he has granted my requests. I don't have questions about whether God hears me or not. Matter of fact, when Jesus was talking to John, where's the one where he's talking? Wow, praise God. Where's the one? Yeah, death of Lazarus, right here. John chapter 11, verse 20, verse 38. Here we go. Jesus intensely moved means he was deeply indignant, meaning he was upset, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and a stone was placed across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone, Martha, the sister of the deceased." Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, replied, "Lord, by this time the body will have a bad smell because he has been buried for 4 days." It was Jewish tradition that if you were dead past 3 days, you couldn't come back to life. "Because he has been buried for 4 days," Jesus responded, "didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" That's a heat right there. I want you to listen to that. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that if..." That's the contingent. That's the little thing right there. That's the little caveat that Jesus puts in everything. "If you believe." Not, you know, I heard somebody give a prophetic word one time. I was like, "What? That's not even scripture." They said, "You know, there are some people here that just because God is merciful, you'll see the promise come to pass." No, they won't. I'm sorry to say that. But if God has given his word on who he's merciful to, it's those who believe. I'm not trying to make it seem like there's an elite group of people who we just believe God, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about seriously that God does not respond to unbelief. He actually leaves the room if there's unbelief. He leaves the room. And it says here, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe..." God is not interested in our little Hallmark messages, what to do when God says no. I wasn't prepared for that, because he says yes if you know what you're praying about through his word and by the scripture. I don't know what people want me to say. I thought it was pretty self-explanatory, but anyway, guess not. He says, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, Father," watch this. Listen to how he says it. "I thank you that you have listened to me." Past tense. "I thank you that you have listened to me." "I knew that you always listen to me, but I said this for the sake of the crowd standing around here, that they may believe you sent me." I'm gonna give y'all a chance to think on that real quick. You done yet? All right, cool. He says, "I thank you that you've listened to me." I know. Praise God. That don't hit you in your spirit, man. That don't hit you. Just, he says, "I know you've always listened to me. You've always heard me when I'm talking to you. You're not deaf. You're not a stone God. You're not a wooden God. You're not still on the cross. You are a living God, and you hear everything I'm saying tonight to these people." He said, "I'm not telling you this so that way I can reassure myself that you're listening. I want these people to know around me that you sent me here to raise up their dead brother, their dead friend, their dead cousin, whoever. I'm not praying these prayers so I can just blow smoke. I believe you. You talk to me. You have conversations with me. You're my best friend. When are we going to get to this point where I'm looking up to heaven and I know who I'm talking to? That's why when I go to work, people can call me cocky all they want to. I know who I believe in. I know who I believe in. Paul said it. He said, "I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded." Be persuaded. If they call me cocky, bro. I'll button a suit up. I'll look real cocky in a minute. I don't care. I'll keep that suit buttoned up. Look kind of nice. Praise God. Yeah, I like that. Praise God. I believe God. When he said this, he shouted in a loud voice. Notice he didn't say, "Holy Spirit, give me the power." No. Cut it. Cut the feed. Not one time do you see Jesus going around speaking of Rakando, Riapala. No, no, no. He says, roll away the stone. Then he says, Lazarus, come out. Not once do you see him telling the Father, Father, raise up this dying man. He stank. No, not once. He says, Lazarus, I'm talking to you, boy. Come out. The one who had died came out, his feet and his hands tied up with strips of cloth and and cloth wrapped around his face. Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a living God, man. He's not dead. He's not like these other guys that can't do nothing for us. He's alive. And he knows my name. Praise his name. I want you to go with me to John 14, 27. John 14, 27. I have, let me see. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, and I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your heart be troubled or distressed or lacking in courage. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin's wife talk on an interview one time, and she told the people, she said, when she got diagnosed with cancer, I believe it was back in the 90s or the 80s or something like that, she said the peace of God came upon her. And she said the peace of God was knowing that the answer was already given before the problem showed up. Imagine you had the answer key to every test that you was ever going to take. You wouldn't be scared one bit, would you? And the answers are all in order. The questions are all in order. They weren't scrambled or nothing. They're all in order. All you had to do. And you guess what? Here's the funny thing. You were allowed to take the answer key with you to the test. How would you feel? You'd feel great. You know why? Because you believed that you're going to ace the test because you had all the answers. You have all the answers right now to sickness. You have all the answers to sin, to poverty, all the things, bro. All you got to believe is God's word. That's the peace. Like Jesse Duplantis calls it, peace is possession of adequate resource. It is me knowing that there's more Holy Spirit in me. There's more Holy Spirit in me than there's sickness in this world. That the Holy Spirit in me can take out every witch, every demon that ever tries to come against me. It's not me being cocky. It's me believing his word. It's me believing knowing in whom I have believed. You got to get to that point where you just believe God. You're sick of letting the devil walk all over you. There are people right now dealing with long-standing issues. I'm talking about like sickness or in their bodies or, you know, or disformed body parts or whatever. And the thing about it, God can give you what you want, but you got to believe that it's already been purchased for you. It's a buffet. The food is already out. You just got to eat. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. Healing belongs to the children. I mean, you see Jesus talking to the lady. She says, Master, heal my daughter. And Jesus is ignoring her. And the disciples are like, Jesus, can we tell her to go away? He says, look, lady, it is not right for me to throw the children's bread that belong to the children to the dogs. She says, look, I believe that. She says, but look, at least the dogs get the crumbs. Give me some crumbs. All I need is one crumb. All I need is one crumb and I'll be healed. All she needed was one crumb. She didn't need a whole bunch of, let me get some of that cheese on top of it. No, give me the crumb. I can take the crumb. The crumb has enough power to wipe out any disease. You've got to take a hold of a crumb. And here's the funny thing about it. I no longer have access to crumbs. I have access to the whole table. I'm no longer a dog. I am the master's child. I am the master's child. Put that in the comments. I am the master's child. So as long as you keep on accepting disease, you keep on accepting mental issues, you keep on accepting long-standing issues, you will always have it. But until you realize I have access to the master's table, bro, I'm telling you, I had to, and I'll tell you one thing that I'll be honest with you. I honestly believe it takes more faith to get rid of the common cold than it does cancer. Because cancer, everybody hates cancer, but common colds, they're so common. Everybody gets the sniffles. I'm not getting no more sniffles. I'm not getting none of that. My friend, Jaden Roberts, y'all know him. He was up here for a little bit at one point on Destiny Youth earlier this year down in Florida. He told me that when he got the revelation on healing and divine health, he never had another issue with sickness again. He never had another allergy. He never had another food allergy, nothing like that. I know a girl, I think it was Kenzie Pody. I forgot what her name is now. I know she just got married to Taylor Michael. Praise God. Give it up for them. But she was talking about how she wanted a puppy. I believe it was her. She wanted a puppy. And so she was deathly allergic to puppies. She could not have a puppy. So she started learning about healing. She started getting that revelation in her spirit, man. And so she walked out in faith and went and got a puppy. When she got the puppy, guess what? She had no more allergies. So you've got to get to a point where I'm tired of letting the devil mess with me. I know people who have food allergies. I know people who got allergies every day of the week, and they just sitting there and they just letting it eat them alive, and they'll keep on speaking that mess over themselves, but they'll never just receive what Jesus already did. All their allergies, all their sickness, he already took it. All their mental torment, all their anguish is already taken at the cross, and they'll sit there and they'll keep speaking this stuff instead of just grabbing hold of it, instead of speaking the word of God, instead of listening to people who've received revelation on this stuff. They'll keep on sitting there because it provides conversational pieces for them. You know, it's a way to start conversation. Hey, so I heard you don't eat bananas. Like, what's the deal with that? Who cares? I want to eat a banana. I just had some banana cheesecake last week. It was the bomb. Now, if I was allergic, I wouldn't have been able to enjoy that. Why the heck can I enjoy whatever I want to? And then you who being saved, you can't enjoy whatever you want to. We got the same God. We got the same Savior. It's the same blood that washed us clean. So just receive it. Just believe the word of God. Stop acting like God is going to do something in the future. We just don't know when. I know when. It was 2,000 plus years ago. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you for every person right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your power is present to heal today. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read something from Acts real quick, Lord. Acts chapter 2. Grant your servants to speak your message with great courage, while you extend your hand to heal and to bring about miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Mom, I know you're here on the live stream right now. I think you're still here. Maybe I'm wrong. If you're here, put your hand on your back for me. Father, we thank you for healing. I thank you that you hear me. I thank you that you've already extended your hand. Lord, there's no distance in the spirit. We thank you, Father, that my mom's back is healed right now in Jesus' name. That command that scoliosis to straighten up right now, to leave her bones right now in Jesus' name. I command it and I demand it in Jesus' name. Snap it into place right now in Jesus' name. I give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for healing of every kind of disease, mental, spiritual, every kind, physical, Lord. We command an end to those things. I command that whoever's watching on replay, Lord, we thank you for healing in their body right now as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let the healing power of God flood every room listening right now, whether it's in now or in the future, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. There's a person watching. I don't know if you're watching now or on replay. You have, you've been having, it's almost like sniffles that won't go away for some reason. They just won't go away. You take medicine, and it's starting to irritate you. I mean, I don't know, maybe you have a white shirt on right now when you're watching. I don't know when you're watching this, so I don't know. The Lord is healing it right now. I give you praise, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for taking everything at the cross. By your stripes, we were healed. That means before the issue ever showed up, we were already healed. Thank you, Lord. Somebody took a hard fall. You took a hard fall, and you haven't been able to walk right since. You haven't been able to stand up straight since. The Lord is healing that right now. Somebody got ulcers somewhere. Somebody got ulcers. There's another person. Your liver's being healed. Thank you, Lord. No more thyroid conditions. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lydia ma shiki antoba. I pray for the person right now who is struggling with cigarettes. You want to get off of cigarettes because you know they're causing you issues, but you can't seem to break it off. I curse the taste for cigarettes off of your tongue right now and out of your mind right now in Jesus' name. The Lord heals your soul from the need to have something solid in your life. It seems like the reason why you struggle with cigarettes is because you're looking for some stability. That's the only thing that makes sense in your life, is when I get a cigarette, I'm calm. I'm mentally all right. The Lord is healing your mind right now as well. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for joy. Thank you for joy, Jesus. The spirit of joy and the spirit of faith are coming into everybody's rooms right now. Ha, ha, ha. Just begin to laugh at the devil. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, hey, hey. You may not feel like laughing, but just start laughing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Rio, ho, 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 shalaba. Indiara ba sinimiante. Hey, hey, hey. Kula ba shanti abra hokunia. Ha, 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 ha. Praise God. Praise God. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shodi araba senkie ba niara boto. Ha, ha, ha. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for victory. Thank you for being the God who heals all our diseases. Thank you for being the God who heals all our diseases. Thank you for being the God who heals all our diseases. Thank you for being the God who heals all our diseases. Well, I pray you get that revelation. I thank you for being the God who heals all our diseases. I thank you for being the God that raises the dead. Ain't no situation too deep for God to handle. He can handle it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody's eyes is hurting. Seems like you got pain in your eyes all the time. Behind your eyes specifically. It's like behind your eyes just be aching. They ache everywhere, but it's like your eyes. I can feel it in the back of your eyes, man. It's like in your brain almost. It's weird. You don't like it. You're like, where did it come from? Even now, it's probably because of the glasses you're wearing. And God is healing your eyes. So you don't even need to wear them glasses no more. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Every blood disorder is being healed right now by the blood of Jesus. If you need a blood transfusion from Jesus, receive it now. There you go. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for salvation and deliverance for the whole man. I give you praise for it now. Thank you, Lord. Somebody here is struggling from depression. Somebody here is struggling from depression. You young and you're a girl. I know you a girl. And you've been struggling with depression. Now, here's the thing. It could be multiple people. But this is what I'm saying. I'm seeing a girl. I'm seeing an Asian girl, to be honest with you. And you're struggling with depression. I command that spirit of depression to leave you right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Whatever you were struggling with before to do, do it now. There are some people I didn't even call out. There are people I didn't even call out. And the thing is, I want you to still do the, to still, by faith, test out the area you couldn't move before. Test out the area you couldn't move before. Praise God. And God honors faith. There was people, I'm sure, that didn't even get called out in scripture that got healed. People that weren't even the focal point of the story got healed. The lady with the issue of blood, she wasn't even the focal point of the story in some days. She just got her healing by pressing into God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, that is the greatest decision you can make. I'm telling you. And this is how, and this is the flow that we're in, is that as we, when you accept Jesus Christ, everything you saw us do the first night and tonight, we were able to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. But that comes from accepting Jesus Christ. You cannot be made a new creature to accept the Holy Spirit into your life if you do not have a new vessel to live in by accepting Jesus Christ, excuse me. So that's your first step. Accept Jesus Christ. Believe that he is Lord. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins. We need our sins washed away. We all had to have our moment where we accepted that Jesus Christ was Lord and that he cleans us. He will cleanse you by the blood and just make you a whole new person. Every habit you struggle with, cussing, looking at people the wrong way, giving people the side eye, rolling your eyes, attitude, whatever, he will deal with that. And that is one way you'll be able to keep the healing you received tonight. To be honest with you, because if you're not saved and you receive a healing, it's very possible, because you're still under the control of the enemy, that it can still come back to you. But once you receive Jesus, you're untouchable, man. The Bible says that the evil one touches him not, because he has the seed of God in him. So you have to be sure that you're saved. Be sure that when I lay my head down tonight to go to sleep, I know I've made peace with God. I have a peace in my heart because I know that Jesus loves me and I love him. All right. So I want you, if you've maybe you've already accepted Jesus Christ, but you never maybe you fell away. You had a life happen to you. Something happened bad. Maybe you just got busy with life, and so you stopped praying. You stopped going to church, all that kind of stuff. If that sounds like you, I want you to pray with me. Say this prayer, and I want you to mean it from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned and I repent. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and fill me with the Holy Spirit, just as you promised you would. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm telling you right now, hey, y'all, if I had an audience in here, we'd be clapping it up. So since I don't have an audience, I'm going to be clapping it up for you. I'm telling you, bro, great decision. Great job. I'm telling you, your life is going up from here. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God is good. I want you to do me a favor. I'm about to put something in the comments. Go ahead and check it out. It is a link to our website. I want you to fill out that form that lets us know you just got saved. Fill it out. And there's a quick 5-point blog. It's not too long. And it'll tell you about the 5 things you should do as soon as you get saved. Also, when you fill out the form, we'll send you a link to a 9-episode podcast. It's not long. They're not long episodes, like 5 minutes, 5, 6, 7 minutes long. And just go through them. They teach the basic doctrines of the Bible. Excuse me. I mean, I don't know what's going on with me today. Praise the Lord. But anyway, do that. And we are so grateful for what you've done today. All right. Next up, we are going to do our chance to give. If you are appreciating what we're doing here at Destiny Youth, you can partner with us to preach the gospel even more to young people all over the world. You have an opportunity to do so much. You can go through our Cash App, our Venmo, our PayPal, or our Zelle. You can even give through cryptocurrency. So you can go through DY Give on Cash App and Venmo. We got PayPal, Destiny YTH. We got Zelle, infodestinyyouth@gmail.com. Or you can scan the QR code for cryptocurrency. All the links are also in the comments. If you don't want to do that, if you just want to click on a link at the website, you want to make sure it's safe, you can go to our website, destinyyth.com/give. It's in the comments as well. And I appreciate your giving. It mean a lot to me. Praise God. That was a good service. I want to also thank you guys so much for tuning in these last 2 nights. It means a lot. Tomorrow, and this is our first online big event I've ever done. In my opinion, this is big for me because, you know, I had to do a lot of different stuff that I didn't normally do before. So praise God. And one of them was not taking a shower. I take showers regularly. Praise God. Just that was one of it. But anyway, so we got that. Let me see. We have Bryce Holmes coming up tomorrow night. Same time, 8 p.m. EST. Oh, that's Eastern Standard Time, Atlantic Time, New York Time, whatever you call it. Yeah, he'll be here. He's going to be preaching on poverty, bro. And it's going to be fire. It's going to be fire, okay? I want you guys to be there. Be there. All right? I mean, don't play games. Get there and enjoy yourself. I'm telling you. I'm excited. I'm going to be listening right there. I'm going to be enjoying myself, bro. It's going to be great. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much for giving. I'm going to go ahead and pray for you guys' giving, and then we're going to head on out. Father, we thank you for every person that gave today. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to multiply it back to them 100-fold in Jesus' name. We thank you that their whole life is being changed because they decided to partner their finances, their treasure, and their heart with your kingdom and its advancement in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said, amen. All right, I'll see you guys tomorrow with Bryce Holmes. I love you. Peace out.